Name that video game. Jamie Nye Locker with you here on the Green Zone.
Is that the guitar one?
New. This is, I'm going to get it wrong. It is probably NHL 02.
Oh, they were. Ish. They were on a hockey video game. I do remember that.
I want to say it was 02-ish. It was when I was in university. Is it 02? I did a lot of studying in university, okay? Let me just say that. I did a lot.
I know that's not true.
I did not spend a lot of my time either at the Owl or when not at the Owl playing NHL 02, okay?
Where was the Owl?
That's the bar at the university. In Regina, anyways. It's like Louis Saskatoon.
So where I grew up, there was a bar called the Owl's Nest. And that was like, they would let us in underage.
Very responsible of them.
This small town.
That's the wrong one. That's... Each and every day, we begin the starting lineup with the top sports stories. A must-win game tonight for the Oilers. Who starts in net?
Got Verhaeghe with it. Across Verhaeghe. Oh, what a stop! Stuart Skinner with some of his best work of the playoffs.
The Oilers are going back to Stu tonight for Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. The Cup will be in the building in Sunrise, Florida. Will Alexander Barkov be presented with that Stanley Cup tonight, or are they flying it back to Edmonton? Some other roster news. Kapanen back in the lineup, on a line with Kane and Draisaitl. RNH with McDavid and Perry. Nuge didn't practice again today, but he's expected to play. John Klingberg returns to the lineup for Troy Stetcher tonight, just past 6 o'clock. The Oilers, the Panthers, Game 6. Brendan Escott's going to join us of 880 Chet. Drew Romenda, our NHL analyst, to get you set for must-win time for the Edmonton Oilers. How are you feeling, Locker?
Good. Full send.
You want to put it on the board that you think the Oilers are going to win tonight?
I'm willing to put it on the board.
That's a guarantee.
But no, it's not.
You're guaranteeing an Oilers win. But
no, there is a different. Scott, help me out here, Scotty.
No.
There is a difference between guaranteeing something and putting it on the board.
No.
Putting on the board is just a prediction. It's not.
If you put it on the board, that's the most confident you are in your predictions, or you wouldn't put it on the board. That's why I wouldn't put it on the board about Shohei Ohtani with a no-hitter yesterday, because that was just a joke. It wasn't an actual prediction. I am predicting Brad Marchand will eat a blizzard out of the Stanley Cup if the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup. That is on the board because I believe it's going to happen. Henceforth,
no,
it's a guarantee.
Hold on. We got another example from the board. Kirk texted in, and he believes that my barbecue is going to take out half a city block by August.
Well, it's not even going to be ready
but
to
that's
go
not,
by
He's
August.
Not guaranteeing it.
No, I think that's a guarantee.
You're guaranteeing Marner to Utah. You made that prediction May 22nd.
But I didn't guarantee it. There's a subtle difference between guaranteeing something and putting it on the board. I will put a Game 6 victory on the board for the
Oilers win tonight.
Yeah.
That is Locker's prediction. We'll fight about it with truth or trash Tuesday.
Mitch Marner has apparently ghosted the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jamie.
You know, the Maple Leafs have tried to talk to Marner. Marner's camp is not engaged with them. And I think everybody knows the way this is going to be heading.
What I have heard is that Mitch Marner is going to take this to free agency to July 1st. It was always the plan. His agent is known for this. He always likes to test the market. And there is a rumor that Mitch is going to rent some kind of a room or a hotel or something.
He's going to sit on a golden throne and let them try to kiss the ring of Mitch Marner to see who gets his
So he's not talking to anybody right now, including the Leafs, which is a story. I guess that's a narrative, right? But at the same time, he has said, his agent has said that the Leafs are going to be part of the process and will be allowed to present their case to Mitch Marner.
You said Utah. I'm starting to lean Anaheim.
Ducks? Quenneville?
Yeah. Hmm.
Is the juice worth the squeeze there, though?
I think with a young roster, he can see that. Anyways, no Mitch Marner in Toronto, it doesn't look like, for next season. In the NBA, the Thunder, one win away from a title.
Gilgeous Alexander kicks it out. Nice pass, Dort. The high arcing three is good. SGA goes at Siakam. Layup is good. What a tough shot.
Yes, OKC. They now lead the series 3-2 with a 120-109 win at home against the Indiana Pacers. Halliburton for the Pacers went 0-for from the field. He had 4 points, all from the free throw line. He was battling a calf injury. 31 points for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander last night. Williams dropped 40 for OKC. So they, again, one win away from a title for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That game will be on Thursday in Indiana.
Olympics winter 2026. They're a year away, but we're already getting schedules, and in the hockey side of things, we're getting the groups.
On the ice for the Ginla. The Ginla stopping! Sidney Crosby, the golden goal! And Canada has once in a lifetime Olympic gold!
Group C is United States, Germany, Latvia, and Denmark. Group B, Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, and Italy. And then Group A, Canada, Czechia, Switzerland, and France. I'm trying to see if one... I don't think one group
is... I don't like Canada's pool.
You don't like it?
Switzerland always plays Canada tough.
Yeah.
Czechia is going to be an okay team. Czechia is
going to be good. But they're fairly balanced, no? Finland, Sweden, Slovakia, Italy.
Apologies to France, but that should be a walk for Canada. Finland, Sweden, Slovakia is going to be tough. United States, Germany with the Draisaitl, yes. Latvia, Denmark, I'm not so sure. By the way,
U.S. has the easier path.
I think so. Write it down. Thursday, February 12th, Canada, Czechia. That is the men's first round robin game for the Olympics. Thursday, February the 12th, and the next game will be the 15th for Canada at the Olympics. Sorry, the 13th. They'll play back-to-back for the 12th, the 13th, and the 15th for their round-robin games. Of course, the women's schedule was announced as well today. Canada opens against Finland in the women's tournament February the 5th. We'll see if Emily Clark will be back on that team. Meanwhile, Rider practice today, it was quite the media conglomerate around Brett Lawther today asking what the heck happened in Hamilton.
It was just me. There's no, I don't want anyone, you know, everyone's trying to cover up other things and coaches and teammates are unreal, but that's just on me. There's nothing wrong with the hold snaps or no wind or any issues. None of those were difficult kicks. You got to put those through.
There is Brett Lawther. He'll always own it every single damn time. He steps up and says, don't blame my holder. Don't blame the wind. Don't blame the snaps. Me. I'm the guy with the foot who has to put it between the two poles, and I didn't do that. He actually added, and we'll talk to Britton about this later on, that he welcomes the heat. Right?
Does he? Okay.
He's like a rally. Like, he just feels, okay, now I'm going to rally. Now I'm going to prove people wrong. He doesn't like missing the field goals, but he doesn't mind the heat. He likes that pressure. So he's inviting the pressure of trying to now go perfect, almost like he did after his bad
game
against Montreal.
More athletes should take his sort of side on that.
I'd really
take a page of Brett.
I've always said it on this show. I have a ton of time for Brett Lawther with what he had to go through as the rep during the lockout or strike or whatever it was a few years ago. He handled himself well, has handled himself with the CFLPA very well, and always has handled himself with the media well as a leader. of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. So we'll see what he does against the Argos. That is Friday. Injury news. Sam Emelis did not practice today, by the way. So it was Joe Robustelli taking first team reps.
Well, and I noticed that as well. When we were at practice, I was like, they're throwing the ball to him quite a bit. Is that an indication that he's going to be in the lineup?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Joe Robustelli, a guy a lot of fans liked what they saw from him in the preseason. Might get a look with Sam Emelis' injury that happened late against Hamilton. Coming up next, Locker is going to explain himself on why he is guaranteeing an Oiler victory tonight force a game number 7.
Okay, now I'm not even putting it on the board.
Right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone. Getting set game 6 tonight. Stanley Cup final. The Stanley Cup will be in the house in Sunrise, Florida. The Panthers, did you see the pictures from Florida?
No, what are we talking about?
Some Oiler fans are getting up in arms because there's fencing that is along like South Beach where the Stanley Cup parade was last time that they're starting to feel like they're prepping for the Stanley Cup parade already to be down there before they've won the thing. Mm. So maybe some extra motivation.
Well, this Panthers team has been on a serious heater, so I can see why the fans are starting to plan.
I'd be confident if I were the Florida Panthers because I believe the Stanley Cup is handed out tonight. You're guaranteeing an Oiler win.
I am not guaranteeing. If that was the guarantee board, it would say guaranteed board. It doesn't say that. It says put it on the board.
You're putting it on the board tonight. There will be a game 7.
Not if you keep saying I'm guaranteeing it. I'm not. No, I'm not guaranteeing a win. I was willing to put it on the board. I'm that confident that we're going to be playing a game 7 in Edmonton on Friday.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Tom says Oilers lose tonight 5-2, empty net goal. Oilers don't want it bad enough, says Tom in Dundurn. Sean, I'm a diehard Oilers fan, but it's only fitting to give Skinner the net for the last loss of the season. I can't see them winning. Put it on the board. Maybe next year. Oiler fans.
Giving up on the team.
Are you okay? How are you doing out there today? Oilers will put Pickard and Skinner in net. Tonight. Okay, that's interesting. Jim's going with the Panthers on this one. 1-877-332-8255.
We got a Twitter poll out, too.
My goodness. How's that looking? Are Oiler fans at least confident there, or are they picking the Panthers, too?
We got 66.7 going to the Oilers and 33.3 going to the Panthers.
A little more confident on the poll than it is on the text line right now.
I don't know if I've ever seen, like, when they win, there's this huge surge. They're going to win the cup, and then when they lose, they're going to lose the cup. It's been this series in particular. I think based on how close it is, because, you know, outside of the first couple of games for the Edmonton Oilers in that first series against the Los Angeles Kings, you know, they took care of Vegas quite quickly. Dallas was a bit more of an issue, but they also didn't have a lot of trouble with Dallas, and now they're really fighting it with Florida, but it's the last two teams in the...
They're the best two teams in the league.
Yeah.
And Florida might prove it tonight that they are, again, for the second straight year, the best. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Dennis, go ahead. What's your prediction tonight?
Turn out the lights. The party's over. When did Edmonton ever win a loose puck battle, get the puck out of their own end, and win a puck battle along the boards?
Never.
They just don't. Right. It's been a while in this series. It definitely wasn't happening in game number 5.
They've never won one, Dennis.
I like the rendition, though, from Dennis. It's a beautiful. That's a little Don Meredith from Monday Night Football. Many moons ago.
They do have to do a better job of getting the puck out of their own end.
Nobody's right. Win a 50-50 puck battle. Get to the boards. Win it. You,
if they were taking stats on percentage of puck battle wins in the last
two
games, I bet you it's about 66% for the Florida Panthers.
I don't think it's that high.
Feels like it. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. You do have game six tonight. Stuart Skinner gets the net for the Oilers. An elimination game as it's in Florida. The Stanley Cup will be in the building. Toronto Blue Jays kick off a six-game homestand tonight when they welcome the Arizona Diamondbacks. Meanwhile, at Rider practice, no Sam Emilis today. He's out with an injury, suffered late against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Joe Robustelli was taking his spot. And Brett Lawther says don't blame anybody but him. Not the holder, not the snap, not the wind. His fault. He promises to be better. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, a new owner for the Regina Red Sox. What impact could that have on baseball fans in the Queen City? Gary Brotzel will join us next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Tuesday edition of the Green Zone. Of course, we'll get you set game six tonight. The Oilers and the Panthers. The Panthers can clinch the Stanley Cup for the second straight year tonight. The Oilers trying to force a game seven. If so, that'll be played Friday night back at Rogers Place in Edmonton. Brendan Escott's going to join us from 880 Ched in Edmonton from Oilers Now. Drew Remenda, our NHL analyst, coming up as well this afternoon. But there was a big story that came just late last week in Regina around an ownership change when it comes to one of the teams. The Regina Red Sox will now be owned by the Queen City Sports and Entertainment Group that also own the Regina Pats. President of the Red Sox, Gary Brotzel, joining us with more on this story. Gary, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Oh, anytime. I'm glad to talk baseball.
What does this mean for the Red Sox that you are now under the Queen City Sports and Entertainment umbrella?
Well, you know, as you know, I've been running this team as a nonprofit for 20 years, and it's become perfectly clear that, you know, it's not getting any easier. Expenses are getting more. The league's growing to the point now where I'd say maybe before we were more of an SJHL model. It's clearly headed to a WHL model, especially in the Alberta market. So, you know, everybody's getting bigger stadiums, drawing more people, you know, travel's getting more expensive. So, I guess to answer your question, you know, it's going to make my life a lot easier for sure, just having the extra help, the expertise out of the Pats office, and I guess part of the Brandt organization that'll be helping out with marketing and things like that. So, yeah, it's nothing but positive. I've just been walking on cloud nine here for a week.
Gary, I know it's early, but have you had any conversations about the possibility of potential partnerships with the Pats as a result of this new ownership structure with Queen City Sports?
You know, probably next week I'll be sitting down with Gord Pritchard and we're going to start, you know, flow charting things to see how everything's going to shake out, who can do what in their office and, you know, what's left for me and Sharon to do. But I would have to think they're going to look at, you know, some joint ticketing packages, marketing packages. It only makes sense if you look at what happens in other markets that have similar situations, like Saskatoon having the Blades, Berries, and Rush all in one umbrella. I've talked to a lot of their people at our AGM, and, you know, when I left that meeting, I was just in awe on how organized, professional, and, you know, how smoothly everything was running.
Gary Brotzel joining us, President of Regina Red Sox, as they are now with Queen City Sports and Entertainment. Of course, group led CEO is Sean Semple. Brandt Industries, of course, now with the Pats and the Red Sox with that organization. Gary, what about the impact on the fans? And this is two-parter. You know, the fan experience, the expenses, ticket pricing, as well as both teams would love new facilities in Regina when it comes to the Red Sox and the Pats.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've talked to Gord about it. I mean, we realize playing at Curry Field in the state it's at we're pretty much at the ceiling for ticket prices. I can assure people I don't think you're going to see any major ticket price increases as long as we're at Curry. Now, if we get into a new facility, there might be a little bump in ticket prices. You know, our top ticket right now is $18, which is, you know, about the same price as going to a movie. Other teams that are building new stadiums, you know, if you want to sit right behind home plate, you might be looking at $25, but that's kind of the ceiling in our league. So I don't think you'll ever see any $50 tickets, but, you know, I'm not the man in charge anymore, but I think Sean's on record as saying he wants to keep it affordable and good family fun entertainment.
Are we going to see upgrades at Curry Field in the next few years, or is it worth the money to do that? And how much does this help in the push for, you know, new infrastructure and new facilities that both teams, rather than having two groups going to the city asking, hey, can we do this? It's now one group kind of asking for the same thing.
Yeah, like if you go to our website and watch the full press conference that I've listed there, Sean clearly and Al clearly stated that their goal is to get a new ballpark in Regina, not just for us, but for the community. So I think that's the number one priority. Whether, you know, you might see some short-term improvements at Curry. I'm not really too sure. I can't speak for him. But, I mean, every conversation I've had with Sean is he wants to help in every single way, whether it's at Curry or getting us a new park. He just wants to see something nice happen for Regina.
Gary, when you take a look at sports and the nonprofit ownership structure, those groups, and then when teams step away from that and then there's private ownership that steps in and takes control, generally there is, I don't want to downplay the nonprofit structure, but generally when one dedicated group takes over from a private perspective, there's more success. Can we put quotes around that? What do you think it is that drives that?
Just the ability to have more capital at your disposal. I mean, non-for-profit means exactly that. We set our budget based on how much money me and Sharon and a handful of others can raise on the season, and we can't go over that. There's always line items or budget items I would love to do, and then when we're looking at our budget, it's like, well, where are we going to fit that in? It's just not doable. Like, we're not going to risk losing $100,000 in the season, right? So, you know, having the backing of Al and Sean, you know, maybe that'll change a little bit. And they're smart business guys. They know it takes money to make money. Not that they're in it to make money, but, you know, just having that mentality, I think, more of a business business approach versus, boy, budget's tight. Let's just kind of scrape through the season again.
With more private ownership, how hard will this be, putting more pressure on the other teams that are still under, you know, community not-for-profit groups in this league?
I'd be lying if our league president hasn't expressed some concern about that. You know, there's certainly, well, there always has been in our league the haves and have-nots, right? You got the Okotoks, Sylvan Lake, Edmonton, their new park, Fort McMurray. You know, all those teams that have good facilities, I mean, their budgets are double, triple, quadruple probably what ours is. So, yeah, it would be a bit of a concern. But, you know, maybe now that other business owners have seen the Semple Group step up, maybe there's some other things that could happen with some of the other franchises.
Gary, there is a ton of history with the Regina Red Sox, and you've been involved with this club for, you said, 20 years.
20, yep.
Yeah, how important is it for you and the group that you've been working with to honor that legacy moving forward, regardless of who owns the club?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, if you watch our press conference, Sean alluded to it, 1913 for us and 1917 for the Pats. I think he did a little bit of research, and those would be two for sure. He thinks it's the oldest. Well, the Pats are the oldest junior hockey team, and a little bit of digging around he did, he couldn't find any baseball teams older and more established than the Red Sox. So I think he said combined years in circulation was 235 years of sports history.
Wow. So, Gary, let's talk some ball on the diamond. A pretty good start for the Red Sox. How are things as the fans continue to go to the ballpark, a couple of home games this week, on how the Red Sox are doing at the first part of this season?
Yeah, it started out a little slow. We didn't have our whole roster set. And then, of course, we were dealt the tragic news there of one of our players passing away, Jesse Lubinicki, in a car accident. That slammed us pretty hard. We went through a week there. I think we were just walking zombies, didn't play very good. But, you know, moving forward, what you saw on the weekend, beating Medicine Hat 12-2, 11-1, is that's our team now. Like, we got everybody here as of Monday. We got all those LSU pitchers that we showed them off a little bit for an inning against Medicine Hat. And I tell you, that's some alive arms there. Like low to mid-90s guys. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with the way things are. Offense is coming, and I think we're just going to keep moving up here in the standings.
Saskatoon Berries in the same division on a bit of a roll, 6-game winning streak. This is shaping up to be a bit of a fun rivalry.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't played them yet, so we get them 8 times here, most of them in July. So, yeah, that's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Meet up with them.
Well, Gary, it's exciting times for, I think, baseball fans to see what's coming for the Regina Red Sox and, of course, the rivalry at the Saskatoon Berries. As you mentioned, they're under that ownership umbrella. That is a good starting point for them as a franchise in year number 2, and I know it's going to see some improvements and, you know, probably a little less stressful for you, Gary, running a baseball team.
Absolutely. I was trying to find a way of creating a bit of a succession plan. I think I found it.
Well, Gary, we'll see you at the park. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks. Anytime, guys.
That is Gary Brotzel of the Regina Red Sox, now under the ownership of Queen City Sports and Entertainment Group with Sean Semple. They also own the Pats. You see that structure, as he mentioned, with the Rush, the Berries, and the Blades. In Saskatoon with the Priester family. So we'll see how it goes. I'm glad that he's talking about tickets. A lot of people right away were like, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen with the ticket prices? But as he said with Gord Pritchard, president, with that group with Queen City Sports and Entertainment going, nah, with the condition. Curry Field, when you compare it to what, like, Sylvan Lake and Okotoks, like Edmonton are playing, like, you need to see those parks and then go see what the Red Sox are playing in the same league. It's like the difference between Mosaic Stadium and, well, Taylor Field. Really. That's what it's like. So he's hoping ticket prices will stay pretty stable as long as they're at Curry Field. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, we're going to talk a lot more about the Edmonton Oilers. Your predictions continue to come in. I'm not feeling the love for the Edmonton Oilers on the text line, Locker. I'm feeling a lot of, is it pessimism?
That's generally a word you would use for how I'm seeing the text as well.
Not seeing the optimists out there, like Locker, who's putting it on the board. Oilers are forcing a game 7.
Don't say it.
But he's not guaranteeing it. It's just on the board that the Oilers will force a game number 7.
Well, there's a difference between guaranteeing
something. Will they win game 7? You want to put that on the board yet?
No.
Okay. Coming up next, this day in sports history has an entire 30 for 30 documentary made about it. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
On this day in sports history, June 17th, 1994,
has an entire hour long. It's one of my favorite documentaries, 30 for 30. It's just labeled, the title, June 17th, 1994 is the name of the documentary. Arnold Palmer playing his final round of the U.S. Open. The beginning of the 1994 FIFA World Cup. The New York Rangers Stanley Cup Parade, ticker tape parade on Broadway. Game 5 of the NBA Finals, the Rockets and Knicks at Madison Square Garden, tied 2-2 in the series. But what more significantly happened on this day in sports history on June 17th, 1994, played out on the freeways of Los Angeles.
Okay, Stan, can you hear me?
Yes, Ron.
I've just picked up some information. The source tells me that the police don't know where O.J. Simpson is right now.
This is one of those cases where you just can't believe that reality is real.
911, what are you reporting?
This is AC. I have O.J. in the car.
Okay, where are you?
Please, I'm coming up the 5 freeways.
Okay.
Right now, we all okay, but you got a cell phone, so just back off. He's still alive, and he got a gun to his head.
Okay. Yes. June 17th, 1994, the O.J. Simpson chase, the white Bronco, resulting in O.J. taken away by police.
Eventually, Mr. Simpson came into the house carrying a family picture. He was taken into custody, he was searched, and then he was allowed to call his mother, visit the restroom, and had a glass of orange juice.
That document, I love that documentary, June 17th, 1994.
Did you watch that? How old were you? You would have been pretty young.
I was 13 years old.
We stopped.
Everything stopped. Everybody was watching.
I was watching the white Bronco on the freeway, the helicopters. It was bizarre.
It is what brought, like, breaking news. Like, that moment was one of the first of those, like, car chase live play out in television moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Was the O.J. Simpson car chase. And it happened June 17th, 1994. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Oilers, Panthers, game 6 tonight. Will we see the cup given to Alex Barkov, or is everybody heading to Edmonton for a game 7 on Friday? Stuart Skinner gets the net for the Oilers tonight. Brendan Escott, 880 Chet, is going to join us in a few minutes here on the Green Zone. Meanwhile, Ryder practice today. Sam Emelis not practicing. Joe Robustelli in his spot on the Ryder offense. They play Toronto on Friday. Coming up next, as mentioned, a preview of Game 6 tonight with 880 Ched analyst Brendan Escott next on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM.